All right, please introduce yourselves.
I'm Ryan Butt.
Christian St. Pierre.
I'm Shane Moore.
And we are at the Saugerties Comic Con in Saugerties, New York. So, how did you decide you wanted to make comics?
I thought of every possible day job and realized I didn't want to do any of them.
I support that. Best way to work your butt off not working. How about you?
I've been a comic book fan all my life, and I've been making comic books since I was a kid, so it's kind of a natural direction, I guess.
Kind of similar. I loved to draw when I was little. I loved cartoons and television. In eighth grade, I saw the movie Batman, and that was like a complete change. Like, I knew that I wanted to draw comic books for a living.
Which Batman?
The 1989.
Like original?
Yeah. I changed my life.
How do you explain a character's personality through art?
Oh, it's all about facial expressions and body expressions.
Are there any artists whose style really inspired you in a certain direction?
Tons of them. Greg Capullo, J. Scott Campbell, Kirby.
Yeah.
It's going to be different for everybody, but there's probably going to be a lot of go-tos like Jack Kirby, that kind of thing. For me, I wouldn't say it inspired me to go in a direction so much as just they inspire me to work and do my own thing. You know, the list is endless. But the big guys for me would be John Byrne, George Perez, Frank Miller, Bill Sienkiewicz. I'll stop there for the sake of
brevity.
Kind of what you guys are saying, like inspiration. I never tried to make my work look like somebody, but I think kind of what you're saying, just seeing something makes you want to work.
Yeah, looking at somebody's like, work, and it makes you excited and you want to sit down and draw.
Or somebody who is like, you would define their work as simplistic, like Mike Mignola. I really like Guy Davies. And not to say that simplistic, it was just, it's like every time I see that, I was like, man, I want to do that. Like,
right, you did so much, so few lines.
Right.
Yeah.
But we know what you mean by simplistic. I mean, it's not a demeaning thing. It takes a lot of work and a lot of know-how to trim down to make something look simple. It's actually a very complex thing. But
complicated to make it look so easy.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, know that I can't do that and want to do it at the same time.
But it makes you want to do it.
I have a friend who works. He's a letterer for Marvel, or he was. He quit to find himself. And I was once playing Pictionary with him, and he would like, he's like, 10 lines, and I'm like, that's the Joker. That is a masterful Joker. How did you do that? He's like, you just go like that. Okay, good. Like, you can do it in different styles, but it really was reducing it like to 30 seconds, here's the character. And if you can't do that, you don't know the character in his opinion. All right.
And I'm sorry.
No, go.
In Pictionary one time, I had a friend who drew three kind of rounded triangles and a little squiggly on top, and I knew instantly that it was Fred Flintstone. And much to the amazement of everybody else there. So,
but the thing that I've always heard about Pictionary and artists is that artists tend to take more time. And I think maybe artists in general, but when it comes to comic book artists, there's kind of an economy. It has a lot to do with, you know, it's just the general style that you're working in, and also the fact that, you know, you got to do 22 pages a month. You have to say a lot in fewer lines. So when it comes to comic book artists and Pictionary, that's a good mix because it's a little bit quicker, a little more economical.
It's time versus quality. Yeah. That'd be good practice.
Yeah, that's why sometimes you see a pen and you're like, I've seen this exact pose somewhere else. I once saw a website that was just like decrying, like, here's this one, here's Spider-Woman, and here's Miss Marvel, and it's the same pose, and someone just traced over it. But
we call them homages.
Homages, yeah. 22 pages, though, you have to get that out. So, why not? So, on that, what is your typical work routine?
Get home from the day job, eat dinner, and start drawing.
What is your day job?
You can ask.
Move furniture.
Oh, nice.
Your hands are precious.
Yeah.
You need to respect that.
For me, I wouldn't say I have a typical I don't have a day job. My day job is the art, and I work at home, so I wouldn't say I have a typical day. It's, you know, a lot of times I would say ideally I would like to do, say, computer related, emails, accounting, business related stuff in the morning, and maybe move to, you know, late morning, afternoon, move to actually drawing. Ideally, that's what I would like to do, but I can't say that I do that. It's not really a routine.
How much time a day do you spend?
Too much. I know what your question is going to be.
I have a friend who is a fine artist, and he makes his money like exclusively from making his art. But every time I go to a studio, he's on the phone or he's on Facebook.
There is an element.
Or he's answering email.
There is an element of procrastination involved with the business end.
Right.
Because there's a little bit, and you guys know what it's like being an artist, there's a little bit of trepidation about sitting down at the drawing table and drawing. There's, you know, that's something I hear a lot, is that no matter how long you've been doing it, there's always this little bit of trepidation. I spend a lot of time doing business-related computer stuff and not enough at the desk, I'll tell you that.
A lot of people don't understand that. There's a lot to being an artist.
There's
more than just drawing.
Yeah, there's a business end of it. The trick is balancing that.
So for me, I have two jobs before I get to draw. I stay at home and I take care of my one-year-old. When my wife comes back from work, I go to my night job as a screen printer. I get home around midnight, and I either have about an hour to draw then, or sometimes in the afternoon, I have about an hour to draw while my one-year-old is sleeping. And most times I usually pick sleep over that. Because my day starts again at 7 a.m. Like, you know, I have to get going because she's going. So right now I have a lot on my plate, and I seem to be balanced.
How quickly can you get work out on that kind of a schedule?
Well, I self-publish, so currently no one is paying me to draw stuff other than myself. So my goal is a book every year, but on top of the other things, like, you know, the promotional art, making banners or buttons or Instagram drawings, things like that. But like one finished published book, I would love to do one every year. I would feel successful.
And you do everything as far, you know, lettering, coloring, everything.
I don't do coloring because my books are in black and white, but I do a lot of gray toning, which I don't feel like I'm very good at. I mean, if I had the money to pay somebody else to do it, I would pay somebody who was much better at it than me.
Do you two self-publish as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I plan on it. I haven't done a lot in the way of comic books. Most of what I do is illustration, tabletop game, card role-playing game illustration. I do have a big pile of stuff. Like I said, I've been a comic book fan all my life, and I've had, you know, projects of my own that I've been building up for, you know, upwards of 30 years. And so, ideally, I would like to go in that direction.
Do you think that is purer than doing what the publisher wants you to do?
Pure?
Yeah.
Every artist has that line where, you know, for every artist you ask, that answer would be a little bit different. You know, to what degree of purity you want, that kind of thing. I've been fortunate. I guess I have been fortunate that the art directors I've worked with kind of let me do, you know, they give me a general direction, but I have a lot of leeway in what I do, so I've been fortunate in that respect. So for me, it's not that much different, you know, because I am allowed a lot of time to do what I want. I generally haven't gotten a lot of revision, that kind of thing. So they kind of set you off and running. For the people I've worked with, they set me off and running, and I'm pretty much allowed to do what I want. So I haven't had to wrestle with that idea of purity, selling out, that kind of thing. I've been fortunate in that regard.
Sure.
there's a compromise where if you self-publish, you're publishing 100% of what you want it to be, where if somebody else was going to publish it, they might want more mass appeal. So 100% of yours that nobody's going to see, or 80% yours that 1,000 people will see, or so on and so forth. It just depends on where you want. But don't get me wrong, if I got the offer, I would sell out in a heartbeat.
You're sort of a publisher in and of yourself. Like, you do tabletop games, right?
I do the... Well, I haven't published any games myself. I do illustrations for other companies.
So how does that collaboration work?
It's, you know, I'm kind of like a contractor like anybody else, like somebody who might come and work on your house or something like that. But basically somebody, you know, the company will have an art director who usually handles all the artists and all the art needs for a project. And that art director approaches different artists for the project, hands out assignments to each artist. You know, then you do legal paperwork at the beginning, get that all straightened out. And from my experience, they give you a description of what they'd like. You submit a sketch or a few sketches. They decide which direction they'd like to go. And from there, sometimes they'll just stop right there and let you do what you want and do some revisions at the end. Or sometimes they'll go through the process with you and say, all right, at the sketch, the sketch stage, they'll do revisions, pencil stage, they'll do revisions. If it's comic book related stuff, you know, they'll do pencil, ink, color, that kind of thing. They do revisions through the process. So it can run the gamut from somebody who's, you know, looking over your shoulder throughout the process, or somebody who lets you do what you want and fine tunes at the end.
So the question we have here is the life of being a comic creator, pros and cons. So what's the good part? What part?
The good part is it's fun. The bad part is it's so much more work than I ever thought it would be.
You feel the same?
Anything?
I don't think that... I'm going to say pros and cons. I know that instantly when I finally did it, and finally published my first work, I knew that I was at a point that I'd always wanted to be. I'm going to say the cons of that, I became very, very critical of the first published book, like every little art error or anything with the lettering and the spacing and things like that. It just didn't seem real for a little while too. So in a lot of ways, I guess I'm like my own biggest critic.
Yeah. That's probably a big thing. I would add, I think that's probably the biggest thing. You're your own art director. You're your own critic, your biggest critic. And I would add on just having the discipline, putting yourself on a schedule to be able to produce things. So, I mean, if you guys have a day job, so you know what it's like. You know, everybody knows it's like punching a clock. You got to be there. You know, and so if you want to produce a comic book, you have to produce a comic book a year, or you'd like to.
Yeah.
So even then, you've got to stick to it and do a certain amount, so you're not cramming at the end of the year to get things done. I would add that on one of the top, you know, top two even.
It's hard
things to deal with is just that discipline.
When you're working for yourself, like you go to your job, and you punch in. You can't tell your boss, you're like, yeah, I'm not feeling it today.
Maybe I'm going to play on Facebook.
Yeah, maybe I'll Facebook. And like, you work so hard for somebody else, but when time comes to work for yourself, that's when, you know.
Treating it like a job is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, but hopefully, you know, the idea that you're doing what you want to do and you're doing what you love takes the edge off of that a little bit. Because if you love it and you enjoy it, sometimes it can be work. But if it's something you love and you enjoy, hopefully that takes the edge off of that punching the clock theme.
Do you have any advice for beginners, someone trying to get into your field?
Just keep at it. Don't get discouraged by anything, because everything's going to discourage you.
Does anybody here actually want to be a comic book artist? In the back? A couple of Wolverine? Three? Everybody.
Good.
So everybody here wants to be a comic book artist.
So there will be a time for questions later, and I'll expect you all to ask questions.
Yeah. And I hope everybody brought their portfolio.
Yeah.
You did, right?
No, but I brought a dress round at the end of the year.
Okay, then you come and talk to me later. We'll talk about Douglas Adams. All right.
Just one thing. Oh, yeah, just to put the final touches on what we said earlier is just work hard. You got to work like you were saying, it's just the hardest. Draw, you realize how much work it takes. I mean, you gotta, you know, if you stop drawing for a day, even that little bit of time, you're gonna build up a little rust. You just gotta keep at it. Because when you get into comic books, if you're doing penciling, they're gonna want 22 pages a month. And if you don't do 22 pages a month, they're gonna find somebody else to do it. It's a lot of work, and you gotta be ready for it. And the more you know, the harder you work now, the more you get yourself into that mode of work and work and working all the time, even when you don't want to. The better off you'll be, you know, break into the business, you'll be able to jump in and hit the ground running.
So what's the best way to get your work found by people and read, in your opinion, in your experience? Go!
Library conventions.
Uh-huh. Which means you're going to buy all their stuff after the
trial. Well, right? I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but
I will buy their stuff after this panel.
This is a library convention is the easiest because it doesn't cost us any money. It doesn't cost you guys any money.
Have you done bigger conventions?
I've done some conventions. Okay. I'm at a level where if I want to go to a bigger convention, I have to pay for a table.
Oh, yeah.
So then there's that. You're starting out at a price point. Mm-hmm. But luckily here, you know, everything's free.
And I agree with you there. I've sold more at small conventions, like No Such Convention Ambassador. And then I did Otakon, which is a huge comic convention in Baltimore, and no one paid attention to me. So, you know, at least here you can actually connect with people.
It's easier. At the big shows, it's easier to get lost. At the small shows, it's a more intimate thing, and it's easier to connect, talk to people face-to-face. It may be a smaller crowd, but you're going to probably connect with more people that way.
It's a more dedicated crowd, too. The big cons, a lot of people there for movies or video games or whatever.
Smaller and if you're not, in my experience, if you're not doing something immediately fandom related, you're pretty much invisible. If you can, again, if you draw the cheesecake version of a comic book character, they'll come to your booth.
Do you ever get the people at the convention that just love the show Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
What con do I draw? Well, why don't you guys are the comic book guys.
I have two books out. I have a book called The Omens. It's kind of a science fiction book about a girl who thinks she's losing her mind, but she's actually gaining an ability, and she's being chased by these different groups of people, and you don't know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are yet. I also have another book out called Empire Comics that's about a supervillain prison break.
I've got a fun all-ages adventure story and a gory animal apocalypse story.
And I do have some comic book pages from comic books I've done years ago. Did a comic book called Grafenbeer, about two issues. Two issues were published, the third one didn't, but I have pages from, third one at the table if you guys want to drop by and see some of that. I also worked on a book called Benita and Clyde. I did two issues of pencils. That didn't really go anywhere, but that's my adventure into comic books. But the bulk of what I do is illustration related, yeah.
So, do you have a wish list of things you'd like to write about or draw, but you just haven't been able to make that happen yet?
Not that I can think of. I haven't done a superhero book yet, but I'd like to do that.
I kind of want to do more, not that my stuff's like graphic, I want to do just more like family-friendly stories. I love superheroes, so kind of in that same theme. Something that almost anybody could pick up.
But I have a whole bunch of different stuff. I have a folder at home of comic book related stuff that I've probably got 20-30 folders in it, and it's different stuff. I mean, ranging from sci-fi, fantasy, you name it. You know.
What would you say the most rewarding moment in your creative career so far has been?
Whenever I feel like somebody genuinely likes something I do, that's the best.
Stole my answer.
I mean, it comes down to, like, being at conventions. Like, that's the rewarding thing, is the interaction with the fans and seeing that people react to your work and people enjoy it, like, that kind of thing. It's like, that's kind of why we do it, really. I mean, we do it for ourselves. We enjoy it. It's stuff we want to do. But when other people respond to it, that's a big thing.
Finishing something also is very, very rewarding to have a comic. I mean, that I might be working on for over a year to finally be done, and then that usually coincides with a convention, and if that goes well, like, then I kind of get ramped up about what is the next, you know, what is the next big thing, or try to ride the excitement wave, I guess.
Now, have you guys had specific, like, issues or projects that you worked on that you've been like, that's my thing, that was like a pivotal moment? I think that may be more what your question is kind of geared toward, but did you have anything like that? Like, I did my first comic book, and that was it. You know? What?
Well, the two issues of the Omens came out before, and then what would be my second book, Empire Comics, was a abandoned project from a long time ago, from like 2004. And once I got the second issue, like, I know I always wanted to go back to that because, like, I still liked looking at the pages, but I think I was at a point where, like, all the other things, lettering and stuff like that, like, I wasn't comfortable with it yet. So, like, finishing those first two books, it was nice to go back and, like, you know, finish something that I really, really liked. So, and I was excited about that, to see it finished, too.
I don't really like to do the same thing twice on purpose, but, you know, I got it now, and the book I'm doing is 12 planned issues, so that's going to be an adventure, I guess.
So you have kind of like a series. You don't have like one big thing. You have like a series of milestones. For me, it's just because for me, it's the same way. I look back and I say, well, I did artwork for a game called Spirit of Century. That was a big deal. And then I got the call from the guys at a company called Atlas Games, and that was a big thing. So I can't say I have like one big thing, but I have like a series of like cool events that happen.
Yeah, every time you finish a project, it's like a milestone. You know, ideally everything gets better than the last thing you did.
So that means you need to keep reading things. If you didn't like one thing, move on to the next one. Okay, so what book, movie, show do you wish you had created? Like, what comic book do you wish you was on your bibliography?
Spider-Man, I guess.
Why?
That's purely for money reasons.
I respect that.
I don't know. Like, it's money reasons. How much money did Steve Ditko get
from that? Yeah.
So I'm going to say, like, Spawn, maybe, or...
For money reasons.
I would say that I would not pick it for money reasons. I don't know, like, so cool. Hellboy, maybe?
Yeah, that's good.
Every time I see something cool, I'm like, oh, I wish I did that.
Yeah. I think I'm just happy that it's there, like... I don't know if I would ever like to work on a book that I really, really like. I feel like it might ruin it. Like, if I had to draw it, I want to just read it.
Yeah, you don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah. I would love to do concept art for like a movie, like a comic book movie. I think it would be awesome. Even for like a day. And then at the same time, if they were just humoring me, like, oh, yeah, that's great. And then, like, they don't use it. Like, you know, I go home.
Yeah. You just see that, go through that process.
Yeah, just the whole process.
Yeah, the process. You were a part of building that thing. That's cool. Yeah. For me, I'd probably say I think Batman is probably the coolest character. So if I had to pick somebody, if I had to pick a character, it'd probably be Batman.
Have you had any great or weird fan reactions yet?
Today?
Or in general? Early today. I don't know if they've gone weird yet.
Nothing weird that I can think of. It's been pretty normal.
Okay.
Weird. I had a guy who picked up our books and, like, instantly, like, he loved it, but he claimed he couldn't read a book that was black and white. Like, it confused his eyes too much, so... Huh. And he was, like, in such turmoil over it. Like, he's like, I really want to buy this, but he was like, we don't have any color books. I'm sorry. It's all black and white.
He could color it in himself once he buys it.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever had anything weird, anything I would call this weird.
I mean, there's always something weird happening at a comic convention. Like, if you haven't seen it, you're not looking hard enough.
Would you ever want to do something other than comic books? Like, we talked about kind of moving on to movies. Like, would you want your comic to be a movie or there to be a novelization of it? Anything like that?
My comic, no. I mean, that'd be cool, but if I had to get into anything else besides comics, I think it'd be video games.
which is a good medium. It's very interactive, and it's getting increasingly artistic.
I'd love to have my own food truck, or work on a food truck for a day at least.
Just to appreciate the life you have now.
No, I just think that would be awesome. Like, you know, I like to cook. I mean, we're talking about our dreams here, right?
Yeah, food truck.
You love the food. Thought it would, I mean, it would be great.
Combine that with
if the Omens got somewhere. Picked up, and for financial reasons, I'm sure that would be great if somebody wanted to make a new movie or TV show. And I would enjoy that. I don't know particularly if I would go out and buy a food truck, but I think it would be awesome. Or to be a superhero. That would be great, too.
There are real-life superheroes. Yeah. They don't have superpowers, but...
Well, with the superpowers, would be good.
Oh, well, ideally with the superpowers. Angle grinder.
We're talking about... You did ask about our dream job, right?
Our dream job, yeah.
The dream job, yeah.
Why would it just stop at, like, successful comic book artists?
Yeah. Reach for the stars, food truck.
Now, for me, add my two cents there. For me, I guess I'm doing it in a way. But as far as branching out into games, comic books, movies, I'm open to all that. I mean, it's all kind of the same, sort of a similar outlet to me. So I'd be open to all that.
Do you have any questions? Oh, sorry, Hoopy Fruit back there.
What? Oh yes. Well. I would like to know, do you plan out the format of, like, how, I'm not wording this correctly, but, I guess the shapes of the, comic panels in each page before you draw them, and do you write the stories first, or do you draw them first, and, like, or is it kind of, just how is your process of drawing out each page and writing for them and drawing for them, just in general, I guess?
I think that's clear. So what is your process?
Well, I have someone else who writes the book, and I just draw it. So that's a huge load off my table. And then, yeah, it's drawing tiny versions of the pages with stick figures for the whole book, and then slightly larger ones for the whole book, adjusting where it needs to, because I don't want to do the same page layout twice in the same book, certainly not right next to each other. And then it's about four or five more versions of that till I get to, normal 8.5 by 11 size paper of, they're a little more stick figures at that point. And then once I'm happy with that, I move on to the 11 by 17 paper. And then I usually two or three versions of each page on that.
I'd probably do a similar thing for me. If I was doing the writing, I'd want to do as clear a script as possible beforehand. Then I do layouts, the thumbnails, like he was talking about, the small things. I'd blow them up and do a full size. But, you know, there may be some tinkering in the middle there, you know, blow them up a little bit and do some correction, and then blow them up to actual size, and then use that as the template for the final page. But throughout the process, you know, you'd be tinkering with the writing throughout the process, so that kind of thing. So you know, have a chunk of it done in the beginning and, you know, toy with it throughout, as, you know, because it'll, Each step you do is going to affect the ones that come before and after it. So there's a little bit of detail work and fine tuning as you go along. So, but that would be, you know, my process would be roughly the same as this is.
Same for me. I've had the three books I've done have been written by other people. A lot of times I will work on the story together, but the writing part of it will be up to them. And I've done books where the writer, who's also an artist, like, will do all the thumbnails and give them to me, and then I have to interpret that. And then he'll come up with the script after. But then I've also done what they call, like, full script, where everything's written, and then I have to, like, do all the thumbnails and things like that.
So where does your, like, for you guys, where does your cover fall? For me, the cover... It's usually my train of thought. The cover comes at the end. I do all the interior and I do the cover.
I try to, but it's usually about halfway.
Yeah.
Or if I just need a break from the interior.
Yeah.
Or if I get an idea. A lot of times I want the cover to kind of tell the story of what's happening in the book. So,
you know. The cover's the most important part, so that'll take... just as much time as any page, probably more so. So so far I've done the whole book, the interiors, and then taken a week off from drawing anything you know, related to it, and then I'll go back and do the cover with like fresh eyes.
You need a little breathing room to reset.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. But the process working on the cover is similar to what you do inside. You're going to do thumbnails and ideas and things like that.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be a wider range of ideas for a cover.
There's so much you can do. Yeah. You can go...
It's wide open.
Yeah, you can, you know, have pictures, you know, exact representations of the characters or something that happens in the book. Or it can be more designy. It's just, you know, you can do anything you want. It's just got to be eye-catching. It's got to make somebody want to at least look in the inside.
So, David, any other questions?
Well, we had this guy right here, but if we had something you wanted to add.
Please.
Okay.
Earlier, before you talking about every artist suffers with procrastination and discouragement. These people are young people. They're just starting to get into it and learning it. What kind of advice would you give them to help them stay focused and not become discouraged, and like little tricks that you did when you first started out to stop procrastinating to get to the point where you are? It's a long, tedious process, and a lot of people quit along the way. You know, if they quit 90 days into it or a year into it, if they just want that extra day, they would have succeeded. And what would be your advice to keep them going to that extra day and not give up?
First off, I would say don't be one of those people that quits just by odds. Then, like, you know, if everybody raised their hand and said they want to be a comic book artist, if you keep drawing and you keep working at it, everybody else gives up or everybody else doesn't do it, then you eventually will become one of those people. Another thing I would say is, like, pay attention in school. There's a lot of things that I know as a kid, like, I wanted to skip, like anatomy, or I just wanted to draw my cartoon characters. But you have to, like, learn, you know, the person who drew Scooby-Doo or Mickey Mouse, like, they knew their basics. And you have to know your basics.
Actually, you bring up Scooby-Doo. And I know that Scooby-Doo is a Great Dane, but he's exactly what a Great Dane shouldn't look like. He's like the least version of a Great Dane. So they knew exactly, this is what an ideal, platonic ideal of a Great Dane should be. Now here's every flaw a Great Dane can have, and they gave them all the Scooby-Doo. So they knew their stuff enough to go off of it.
Great Danes aren't supposed to talk?
They're really not. Oh. It's weird when they do.
Scooby-Doo talks, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just eat nonstop treats, like... That's not healthy for a dog.
No.
Did you want to do something? Because I got some comments, but
oh,
I
please.
Just want to hear it.
Well, I was just going
to
ask.
Well, I want to. Ryan, because we've all got our opinions on this, and I have something. I just don't want to railroad everything off.
I think it depends on what's going to make you quit, and if it's too much work, then it's not really what you want to do, and if it's you don't like your work, you have to judge yourself, but you have to recognize that you're just going to keep getting better, and you just got to keep working until you're better.
But it's just like what I was saying earlier is work hard, and you're break. You know, one of the things I always think about is that, you know, how do you eat a whale one bite at a time, and that's what you're doing is you're building a career, you're building, you know, your art toolbox, you're building your ability, you're building your career. And how do you do that? Well, you have to break it down into pieces. And so the same comes with doing a picture. Like if you're, you know, you want to do something this big, well, start off small. Do, you know, little things like that can build confidence. So then you can address the big things, you know, and those little things, I call them little victories. Those little things, they build your confidence. They make you feel good about what you do. They make you want to do it more. And that's how you kind of build up from there. And if you run into something hard, it's giving you trouble, you got to push through it. Because if you get into comic books, you're going to do stuff you don't want to do. If you get into illustration, you're going to do stuff you don't want to do. You're going to have a deadline. And you've got to have it done by then. So if you come across something that's difficult, build up the ability to push through that. Because you're going to have to. And it's just working at it. It's, you know, try to find time. I know everybody's got families, everybody's got, you know, work jobs, they got things they got to do, but find a little time a day. Because if you go for a day, 2 days, three, you know, and if you start getting up into weeks when you're not drawn, when you go back to draw again, you got a lot of rust you got to remove. And that kind of thing would be really frustrating, because if you go back to draw again and you're rusty and it's not looking good, yeah, it kills your confidence. But if you just keep at it, you know, you're going to have your dips no matter where you are in your career. You're going to have your confidence is going to be all over the map, up and down, up and down, up and down. The more you do it, the more you'll even that out. You'll still have your dips and your high points, but, you know, maybe not as severe. But it's just keep at it, you know, that kind of thing. Keep at it and push through the hard parts.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
Also, just take advantage of what you have now. Like, you have a million resources that maybe I feel like I did not have, like, growing up. Like, you can go on your computer and look up a tutorial about drawing or sizes. To publish a comic digitally, you can get one comic. Whereas, I mean, I grew up in the mid-90s. Like, if I wanted to know what size 11 by 17, I went to a convention and I asked somebody. Or if I wanted somebody to look at my art, I took it to a convention and showed it to somebody. So a lot of the things that might be distracting you now as a young person, you can take advantage of that too.
But that's a good point, is that, you know, as people in general, but especially for artists, it's important that you're always taking in information, you're always learning, because what you take in, your mind processes, and it comes out in a creative process. So you should, you know, always be reading books, watching movies, watching TV shows, learning stuff, doing tutorials. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you could do on the internet. And that is a good point, that always, you know, always learn, you know, if there's something you're curious about, learn about it, you know. And my friend Jacob over here is going off to school, and one of the things I always tell people when they go off to college is, like, be active in your education. Don't sit and wait for it to come to you. You know, go out. If there's something you want to know, go and look for it. Find out how to do it.
Get your money's worth.
Yeah. Yep. That learning is a big part of being a human being, but especially being an artist.
Any other questions?
Yeah, actually, I know I kind of already said this, but can I add on to what you said about your process and ask, if you're writing, or if there's a writer who's written it out for you, do they write what each panel will say, or is it a script, a general script, and you choose, like, what panels? Because they have thumbnails, so they have a script for each panel.
I think that's
true.
Yeah,
writer's preference.
It depends on the writer, ways. But what does your guy give you?
It's back and forth constantly before I even start drawing. And it's, I like the format of each page of script is a drawn page. I think that's pretty standard. And it's, she usually gives me at least a general idea. And if it's something that's going to be meaningful later, she'll be more specific. But it's really, everybody works different. It's, you just got to learn to work with whoever you're working with.
Right. So it seems like you have a pretty close relationship with whoever the author is.
Yeah, I barely knew her when we started, but we're like best friends now, because okay. We're just always back and forth talking about it.
Usually the process with penciler and writer is pretty close like that. But just to finish up your points, right? It depends on the writer. Some writers, like Alan Moore. Are you familiar with Alan Moore?
Like a masked
Avenger or superpowers?
I don't know. It depends on the day, I guess.
But Alan Moore will write like a page worth of text for a panel. Like, you can probably find examples of his scripts online, and he will write in extreme detail about everything. And then on the other hand, you'll have a guy who may have you know, three lines on a page. You know, exterior of a building, panel two, you know, like very, very vague stuff.
Guy punches guy. And,
but it depends on the writer. You'll get everything in between.
As a writer, too, you have to be aware of how much stuff, you know, your artist can draw. Like, I've gotten pages from my friend Larry, who writes the book, and, you know, it'll be like 7 panels and way too much words and way too much text. And I was like, well, what do you want me to do with this? Like,
so you'll have your guy at the bottom of the panel, right. Word balloon.
Yeah, not all writers are visual people, yeah. So you got to tell them you can't have 3 people doing 3 different things and talking about 3 different things all in one panel. Yeah. And then have 9 of those panels on the page.
Yeah, it's good to have a little freedom, too. Like, if I see a page and it's written, it's really exciting, like, I might make some changes and then ask them, like, make a huge like, pin-up or something. And then be like, oh, by the way, I did this. Like, and it looks cool. But
that's, yeah, that's why it's important for, at least for the penciler, that the other people in the process, inkers, colorists, not going to be involved with the writer, but the guy who's doing the penciling, that's the one that they got to be pretty close. And the writer, you know, a lot of times, you know, artists and writers, but from my experience, writers can be very opinionated and protective of what they do, but there's got to be give and take on both sides, and they got to work together, and because they're laying the groundwork for the comic. So.
Have any of you read the book Understanding Comics?
Yeah.
Scott McCloud?
Scott McCloud, right? Yeah. You say essential?
Well, okay, everybody here, there's 3 books. Understanding Comics, Reinventing Comics, and...
I don't know the third one.
Understanding Comics Part 2.
Yeah, let's go with that.
There are 3, all by Scott McCloud. Okay. And if you're interested in comic books in general, and you don't know about comic books in general, like, and you want to do this for a living, highly recommend it.
And if you can get it at a library, that's good. That, you know, I don't personally don't like to recommend that people go out and buy this. You could probably find it at a library. It's a fairly common book. So.
And if you can find them, Wizard Magazine released books of a whole bunch of topics. I think they have at least 12 out, and they're really great. It's just a compilation of articles by actual professionals.
Again, the internet. 1,000 resources.
What are your feelings on web comics?
I'm for it.
For it?
Is it for or against? I'm for.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't do it.
Why don't you do it?
I don't know. I like the format of comic book, like very much like the, I don't say the realness of it, but like having my hand. And,
yeah.
I don't know how they can put out material on that time span, whether it's, I think most of them are weekly or bi-weekly, and that's a, you know, you really got to pump that stuff out.
And with something like the internet, there's so much white noise to compete with that you have to do it, and you can't drop off. You've got to do something fairly regularly like that, or you will get lost. I'm like you. I like to have a book in my hand. I have to have something I can I can look at it.
I mean, I do everything digitally, but now. But to see the printed comic is the art. Like, the drawing that I did is, I don't consider it to be the finished art. Like, everything put together is, that's the thing I'm looking for.
But Kickstarter's been great for web comics, especially if they've been doing it for a number of years. They've got a book's worth of material, and they have the fan base, and their Kickstarters make a ton of money, and they can get everything printed for, you know, no cost to themselves, and then they have the tangible thing.
And from what I understand, people still want that thing. Like, if you've read the comic, or even if you bought it digitally, and you see that person at a convention, because you liked it so much, you may want to still even buy the comic. Like,
yeah, if I see a webcomic getting printed on Kickstarter, I will, if it's interesting to me, I will back it and get it, and I won't read the webcomic. I'll wait till I get it in my hands and read it on my couch.
Any other questions?
Last question from you.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Just joking. Talk to you all
if anybody has any questions after this, too, you can come by.
Yeah, we're all going to be at the tables in the other room, so please. Whatever we don't cover here.
You have really good questions. I want to encourage you.
Okay.
Go ahead. Are you all set?
No pressure.
that's what we're here for. We're at this panel to answer your questions. So, have at it.
Well, usually would you say that you draw the panel into the larger form and then fit them into the smaller panel size, or would you say that you keep them in the panel to draw within the small like frames, I guess? And how long would an entire comic work be in contrast to the content on the page?
Well, the largest I draw is 11 by 17, and that's a whole page, and then...
That's standard, too.
Yeah, and when we send it to the printer, we reduce it down to... It's about half that, I think. And then, so whatever, however big the panel is, however it fits on 11 by 17, that's how big I draw it.
Some of the older guys would do double that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the really old... Some of the older guys would do, huge. Yeah.
Generally speaking, when you draw for reproduction, your original artwork will be 1.5 times the printed size. So for comic books, it's 10 by 15, because a comic book is, I think, 6 6 and 2/3 by 10. So if you multiply that by 1.5, you get 10 by 15. So that's about, I mean, it's not always 100% accurate, but it's about the idea. So that's why they say 11 by 17. That's the general rule of thumb, because that's the size of the... When you take a comic book and you make it bigger by 150%, that's how big it is, 10 by 15. Now you had a question about the panels. Does that answer that question? It did? Okay. So you usually do it bigger, and that way, the reason they do that is because when you shrink it down, it minimizes some of the mistakes and things. They don't look so glaring. Everything kind of pulls together when you shrink it down. Now, did we cover everything that you had?
Thank you. So it was a very general question. So okay. I wanted to bring past.
No worries. There are some people that will draw actual size. For me, I like to draw bigger. It kind of helps your hands move and express a little bit more.
Have you ever worked on a computer?
I do a lot of digital color on the computer. Just about everything I've done for maybe the past 15 years or so has been digitally colored, so I do a lot. But I always like to have some element of traditional media, whether it's the pencils or pencil and ink, something like that. So I like to do something at a drawing desk.
Yeah.
So I just want to keep that. It helps me keep that part, that aspect of drawing. Drawing on a computer is different from being drawn at a desk. So, yeah.
We only have time. I'm going to have one more question for you guys. So where do you see yourself in 5 years professionally?
Right here. I'll be back in 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, just more of the same. I'm keeping at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have a lot more comics. Maybe even so many comics that the comics that I have now I don't even bring with me.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So because you always want to be getting better, and you know, you look at that stuff, you enjoy it. And you're happy you did it, but you moved on. You're ahead of that. So that's a good place to end.
All right. Thank you, guys.